Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It's incredible. It's a feeling you can't really describe. And, you know, seeing the family and everyone up there and everyone that supported me and helped me get to this point, there's nothing. Words can't put this into reality, how great it feels, and such an incredible group. Everybody wrote us off from start of playoffs. They had everybody beating us in every round, and we just had that fire, and we knew we had something special. It's incredible. It's incredible to be part of this group right now.
I mean, a little too much on the, you know, people kind of didn't believe in us thing a little bit there from Brad Marchand. Marchand. How do you say it? How do you say it?
Marchand.
You say Marchand? Marchand. Either way, that's Brad Marchand. See, now I'm going to do it a little bit weird. I've said it many different ways over the years. The point is, that is the type of player that you totally hate, but man, when he's on your team, you love him, right? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Could say that about Sam Bennett, your guy over there, Owen. Come on, be honest. You love him if he's on your team. I saw your tweets about Sam Bennett last week. Two weeks ago.
You want
him on your team.
I definitely would like him on the team. I'll admit that. But I definitely also think that he has made some horrific plays.
Yes.
That should not be allowed or count as goals or whatever you want to say. I think he's done some questionable stuff. That's my take on Sam Bennett. He's awesome. But
I mean, but every team, can I say almost needs guys like that to win a championship in sports, it feels like?
I think needs is correct, yeah. I mean, I bet you could go through every NHL champion in the past however many years and pick out a rat, scum, like just a guy.
Yes.
Pat Maroon was on the Lightning. Like, there's guys all over that really play that role, and I think it's important. I mean, there's
Bill Laimbeer of the Pistons. I mean, go back and watch, right? A little before your time, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's guys on teams that, like, you just, this guy, he's the villain. Everybody hates him. But, man, part of the reason you hate him is because he's so good.
Right.
And he gets under your skin. And he's physical. And he does stuff that you just shouldn't do. And at the end of the day, hoists the trophy over his head.
Exactly. And I know in locker rooms that I've been on, almost every team I've been on has had a guy that everybody on the team knows is psychotic and will do something that will probably at some point hurt you, but overall,
let me say it this way, all right? In a football coaching world, there used to be a saying I'd have with my football coaching buddies. You got to have a few guys that you definitely need to go you're okay with going to a bar fight with.
Right.
Like, you got to have some guys that I'm going to a bar fight, that's the guy I'm bringing.
Yeah.
And because he's not only with me, he's leading the way, maybe. And if you don't have a few of those guys, you ain't winning nothing.
Yeah, you can't.
Sorry.
You need people to drag you into the fight.
And you need people that are going to do whatever it takes in that fight.
Exactly.
And they don't care. They're not going to play by the rules. Sorry. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
You saw it happen. Bennett, like, scoring goals that probably shouldn't count. Help them win.
I don't disagree. And look, this is not a point that, oh my God, yeah, this is the way you're supposed to win by playing the way Sam Bennett does. The point I'm making is you got to have a few guys like Sam Bennett on your team to mix in with the other kinds of guys who play hockey a totally different kind of way.
Exactly.
And by the way, Brad Marchand is one of these kinds of guys that we're talking about.
That's the thing about Florida is they've got a ton of those guys. They got
maybe
Kachuk,
too many.
They got Bennett.
Yes.
They've got Greer's kind of like that. I mean, they're loaded to the gills with guys with gumption, maybe you could say.
Oh my God!
And it's fun to watch them play. I'm grateful that we're getting to see such a strong team.
The first dynasty, we said this yesterday, and I'm sorry, I know you were working over there.
Oh,
I really apologize. We said yesterday the first we were talking about dynasties. the first dynasty. By the way, welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. That is the voice of Owen Parker, and also we have Josh Schmidt here producing today. So the first dynasty I ever remember was the Islanders, 1980s, right? Growing up. Okay. Sure, you've heard about them, seen them. Your dad's talked about them. Their goalie was this. Billy Smith was this.
Yes,
their goalie was the biggest. He butt-ended Lindy Ruff in the eye, which is a famous clip.
I've seen
And
that.
Lindy going after him. Billy Smith was a guy that just he didn't care.
Yeah, there's a few goalies in the history of the league like that. Hextall was a little bit of that.
Ron Hextall was totally like this.
Ray Emery was a little bit of that. There's some guys that'll get after it. It's important. It's a role that needs to be filled. I think a lot of kids coming up could carve out a path for themselves. I talk about this when I coach a lot. Like, get comfortable being uncomfortable with what you're doing.
Like, I like it.
Maybe be a little on the edge if you want to. Like, if you have that in you, bring it out. Like, it's valuable. It's not everybody has it. And like we're talking about here, you look at almost every championship team in every sport, they've got guys like that. And it's fun to watch those guys play, and people love those guys. They're fan favorites. It's important.
Is Binnington the newest version of this with a goalie?
Exactly.
Is he?
I mean, he's not
100%.
He had his moments of being an actual good goalie, but he's always been like a trash talker.
Loose, crazy.
Yeah.
He's never,
he tried to fight Marc-Andre Fleury this season.
That's right.
Yeah. It's Marc-Andre Fleury's last year in the league. Like, the guy's crazy.
You know, I'm thinking about all this right now, and you're right. I think about even the people we know who've been in that role in Buffalo as fighters, Rob Ray and Andrew Peters. I think both of them would tell you kind of like that wasn't what they were planning on doing as they were growing up.
Oh, I don't think anybody really plans on that.
But they understood that that was the way for them to get into the league after knowing that they were a little bit less skilled, but better at that particular skill, right?
Yeah.
And that's important. How they could do it.
You got to recognize your own self-scout. You got to know what you got. And you got to work with what you got, exploit your strengths and hide your weaknesses. And if that means you can be that kind of guy, then you'll have a place.
The Panthers did win the cup last night. I will ask you now that I have your mic open here, what you thought about how they celebrated, because I liked it and what they did with the cup. And in case people don't know what I mean, traditionally, kind of the more senior members of the team get the cup first after the captain, and the guys who are veterans have been around. They did it opposite. Those guys did it last year. I loved the fact, and I was rooting for the Oilers big time. Believe me, I was not rooting for the Panthers, but I really liked what they did last night, which is all of the first time winners got to raise the cup first.
Yeah, that was
cool.
Me and my dad were actually having a debate about that while the game was going on.
Oh, wow.
We were talking about like, who's going to get that cup after Barkov? Because there's nobody that screams like, oh, this guy definitely deserves it. There was no, you know, Ray Bourque to take it next, right? And so he was, Marchand will probably do it.
But he's only been there for a few months.
He's only been there for a little while. Yeah. He's won it already.
Yeah.
I didn't like that idea. My take was I thought they just, because there was nobody that screamed it, I thought they'd just hand it to, like, whoever Barkov saw, an assistant captain, Tkachuk. Just, like, give it to someone.
They had a plan.
But they did. And I respect that a lot. I think Schmidt got it first. And that was, my dad said, Marchand or maybe Schmidt, because he's been there all year. And he called it. I got to give him credit.
I love that.
As much as I hate to, that big guy. But
he
nailed it. Like, I think it's a beautiful tradition, and it's always kind of an interesting story. Like, who gets the cup? Who does the team feel deserves this? Because it's a window into a locker room. It's a window into who do we believe, the team believe, impacts the game and the series and us as a whole. And I think it can be really interesting to see that from that perspective. Because I think outside of it, when you're a reporter or you're a fan or whoever you are, you make assumptions and you think, I think this guy is a guy that the team is really important to this team, and they probably are, but I think there's internal factors that play a big role that I don't know that everybody realizes, and I think that's kind of a window into that world that I think is really interesting to see at the end of the year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's just play a game here. This is totally far-fetched. I get it. If the Sabres had won the cup this year.
Okay.
Okay. Darlene gets it first. Who's the next guy from what you know about this team and how it's structured that cup's getting handed off to?
Tuck.
I agree. I think it's Alex Tuch.
It's got to be Tuch,
right? It's got to be Tuch. I think so.
Hometown kid.
Yeah.
Tuch.
The story.
He hasn't won it. He's been to the final. Yes. He's never won it.
Would have to be.
Tuch. And then from there, it's Thompson, whoever. Like, it kind of just goes down the rabbit hole there. But I think the first thought that I have, without any sort of time to think about this before, maybe there's obvious I'm missing, but Tuch to me would be the name that would get it right after Dalian picks it up.
I think not long after would be a guy literally like Ryan McLeod, who also was there and didn't win it, right? And then he comes in. Like, I think that's a guy that you say, hey, look, dude, you know what it's like to be watching this.
And you came in and you helped it. So, yeah, I think that's good. a good pick.
I like that. That is Owen Parker. By the way, your dad's joining me today.
Well, look at that. You got both of us.
I got the Parker brothers. Father-son, sorry. The Parker boys.
I'm not that old yet.
There, I got you. The Parker boys. Bulldog's going to join me at 11 a.m. today. That's right. Our Chris Bulldog Parker. The reason is, well, a couple things. You know, I go on Show Up with the Bulldog a lot. I go on Jeremy and Joe a lot to talk about the Bills. And I've had Mike Shope on to talk fantasy football. That's kind of his niche. He loves talking about it. He's really good at it. He's smart, does a podcast. Hey, let's talk fantasy football. And I said, you know what? I haven't had Bulldog on just to kind of talk, to ask him. I want to reverse roles. I want to ask him questions about sports. And yes, he gives his opinions, but I want to ask specific questions, not just a conversation he has with Mike Shope, but hey, what do you think about this? What did you think about that? So we're going to do that at 11 a.m. today with Chris Bulldog Parker. And also because he is the Ride for Roswell team, you know, Bulldogs team on Ride for Roswell. We'll talk with him about that. That's coming up just in, 10 days or so, another weekend after this weekend. And that's the Ride for Roswell. That'll be really cool. So we'll chat with Bulldog at 11 a.m. At 10:30, coming up in about 15 minutes from now, going to get with Jonathan Acosta. Jonathan works at WGRZ TV Channel 2. Here in Buffalo, and Jonathan actually, you know, he covered Bill's minicamp and, you know, OTAs. He was out there quite a bit, so I'm going to, you know, get his observations. Somebody maybe you don't hear enough from or a lot from. We hear from John Scott, who's the sports director at Channel 2, but haven't heard from John a lot. He's been on with me, I think, once before. But also, John is actually a really big Red Sox fan, and I know that I was watching him and tweeting about the Rafael Devers trade. I know he's into the College World Series that's going on now, some soccer. So we can kind of touch on a lot of topics and get to know Jonathan Acosta a little bit better too. The Olympics are coming to NBC as well very soon. So we will talk with Jonathan Acosta at 10:30 a.m. Bulldog at 11 a.m. here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We will also get connected with you throughout the show and throughout the day. And that is always getting connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I came in early today, but I had a bunch of things going on, so I wasn't able to listen to Jeremy and Joe, or whatever we're calling them today, by the way. I wasn't able to listen to their show. It could be Joe, and it could be Jerry and Joe. It could be Jerry and Bruno. I'm not sure, but either way, they were doing their show, and I said to Josh, like, what's been kind of the resonating topic with them today? And Josh said, got a lot of calls on the Sabres today, actually, like some stuff. And then Joe said the same thing. He goes, Sal, I think we had more calls on the Sabres today than we get throughout a normal Sabres season. And it was more of the lens of the cup, right? And what happened, you know, over the last, you know, week and where this team is now. I want to extend that for the next, you know, 14 minutes before we get to John. And I want to ask you, so let's keep it rolling. 803-0550 is the number to call. Does what happened with Florida and seeing Sam Reinhart score 4 goals, seeing even, Dmitry Kulikov win a cup? I mean, he was only in Buffalo for, 47 games, right? It wasn't a big deal. So we're not going to necessarily count him. But Sam Reinhart's there hoisting the cup. You go back to Eichel, O'Reilly, obviously, that kind of stuff. But even just watching Florida, specifically watching Sam Reinhart, does it say anything about the Sabres to you? Like, do you look at it through a lens of, yeah, that's another failure of the Sabres, or hey, that's sports. Guys move on, they go and have success. I tend to lean more that way. Yeah, I know it didn't work out with Reinhardt. He was also here for, you know, several years, not quite too long, but it wasn't a short time before he was ultimately traded. By the way, Devon Levi comes back in that return and, you know, hope someday that he's, you know, the NHL quality high level goalie that he could, you know, his prospect says. But that's neither here nor there. Does it, when you watched last night, did you watch thinking about the Sabres a lot and thinking about Sam Reinhart and the Sabres and where things have gone wrong? And like, it's just another kind of nail and hammer onto everything we've been talking about. Or does that not really enter your mind? And like, hey, it's sports and yeah, this is what happens. The Sabres aren't that good and guys have left and they went somewhere else. And it's really more of a product of where they are now, not where they've been, right? I guess that's more of the question. When you watch Sam Reinhart win and you watch maybe even going back to Eichel win, O'Reilly, whatever. I mean, that's been a few years now. When you watch these guys and they're hoisting the stand. Who was it? Brandon Montour last year, right? Another one. Am I missing anybody last year? The Panthers, they had a couple of them. Montour, Kulikov, and Reinhart.
Rodriguez.
Evan Rodriguez, yeah. You know what did stick out to me, though? Interestingly enough, Josh. So when Sam Bennett gets named Conn Smythe winner, thank goodness it wasn't Reinhart, right? For that reason. Because I'm like, Sam Reinhart could win the Conn Smythe. I didn't think it would happen, but after four goals. When Sam Bennett wins it, and I want to look it up just to make sure. 2014, right? That's when the Sabres draft Bennett and Reinhart. They're the year before Eichel, which was the 2015 draft.
There were four. The top four picks were playing in that game last night.
Wow.
Ekblad, Dreisaitl, Reinhart, yeah. And Bennett.
It's funny. He comes in. Hockey's so different because he comes into the league at 18 years old. He's still only 28. He's been in the league 11 years. One of the things that struck me watching, and when Bennett wins the Conn Smythe, and I thought, boy, that's an, like, I'm thinking about him as a, like, a grizzly vet. He's not. He's got the beard now. He's not. He's 28. But I did think, boy, you know, like, it just takes a while in hockey. It takes a while in hockey. And we talk about goalies for this, but it really is. And I think one of the things that I think that's happened with the Sabres is, yes, they've collected some good young talent. I don't think that we could say that, oh, everybody on their team sucks. That's not the case. They have some good young talent. They haven't had enough of the mix with the young talent to allow it to flourish. And I think that's what's kind of happened when I watch teams like Vegas, like the Blues when they win with O'Reilly, like the Panthers. I mean, even the Oilers who haven't won, right? Like, there's this mix of the older veterans and young talent. And that's why they go out and get a guy like Marchand, who fits right in and can help them. I thought about Brad Marchand, believe it or not. I know it wasn't the ultimate result. When I watched Marchand last night and they talked about what he meant to adding him. Actually, it wasn't Marchand. I'm sorry. It was Tkachuk, about adding Tkachuk. When they talked about adding Tkachuk and what he meant, I thought about Drury. I thought about Drury and said, yeah, that's a big thing the Sabres are missing. They have been missing that guy to infuse that kind of thing, right? And Tkachuk was a little younger, probably. I'm going to go compare when Drury came to Buffalo versus when Tkachuk came. But, man, and this is – oh, and I can ask you this, too, I mean, to bring you back in real quick. Like, am I wrong to think that, like, in hockey, one thing that you really have to remember is it takes a while?
It is – yeah, I think it's so, so different from football because of the age guys are drafted at, because of the game just being, I think it just takes more time to get physically and mentally to the point that the best players are at in that league. There's so much to learn in terms of system and speed and skill to develop. That it just, you need to be patient. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you see this with all these former Sabres that go on to play and win elsewhere. They weren't bad players here. They may have, some of them performed poorly, but they just needed the time. And I think even maybe more significantly, the insulation and environment to grow and develop as hockey players.
All right, so... This is good comparison then, because I think what I was thinking was kind of right. Drury had been in the league 6 years before he comes to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Tkachuk was in the league 7 years before he goes to Florida. Tkachuk was actually only 25. He was 7 years in the league already.
I know.
And he was only 25. But think about like the league, the arc of his career and to going there and what he meant for that kind of leadership.
Right. And
that's right.
Like at that age, that would have been Tkachuk's what, third season in the NFL if he was
NHL?
A football player?
Oh, in the NFL. Like, yeah, that's right.
Age-wise,
you're right.
If you think about that.
Because NFL players have to be 3 years out of high school before they're going to be drafted.
Whereas a hockey player, I was 1 year out eligible when I was getting like that was my year. Was I just graduated and that was the I was in high school. I was like that was my year to get drafted in the NHL. I was at Nichols School.
We talk about Devin Levi and goalies a lot, but actually it's everybody. Like it's goalies take a little longer, but like you can come in and be a really great player. You know who I think about for this right now? I think about Connor Bedard.
Yes.
Right? Like Connor Bedard had a not a great second season. He's unbelievable.
Right.
He's great.
And he is a supreme talent, borderline generational level player. And he still has these kind of struggles. If there was a Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback in the NFL, right? He came in as, I think that's a good comparison in terms of hype as a prospect for Bedard.
Yes.
Very highly touted for a long time and expected to do incredible things immediately. And Bedard, I don't think is looked down upon in this to the same degree that Lawrence is at this point in his career. Like I think people on Lawrence are kind of like, I don't know if he's ever going to get there. Bedard, I think everybody thinks he's going to go. It just he's got to get the time. And there's just such a different level of patience required because the kids are young, because the game's, I think, more complex as a combination of physical and mental challenges.
Do you know what this gets me to, though? It gets me to the thing that I've said for the last 2 months. I don't care about getting more prospects. Trade the damn pick. I don't care. What does it matter?
100%.
Right? I mean, I just, every time I hear, oh, the Sabres are the youngest organization in the league, my response is, again?
Right.
Again? Who cares?
We don't want that.
Who cares? Like, it's great to have youth, talented youth. It's great. If you don't nurture that talented youth with the right people and mix above them, it doesn't matter.
Right. Because what's your best case scenario if you take that pick? Zach Benson level guy? Like that comes in and plays first year. It's incredible. Like that's very rare that a guy outside the top five will come in and play in their first year after getting drafted in the NHL. Zach Benson isn't pushing, like he's a good player. I like him a lot. I love him. He's not pushing this team into the playoffs. That's not the difference you need. You need to make up a bigger gap than that. So you can't rely on that pick to be some sort of factor for you.
No, I agree. And all you're doing is backloading again with more of what you have. It's kind of the same thing, right?
100%.
It's the same thing of what you have throughout. Again, it's not bad to have good young talent. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter if you have all the good young talent in the world. If you don't, I think the example is what we've seen the last several years in hockey. If you don't have the people who've actually been through some wars, been some veterans, know how to bring that talent along. And the Sabres do have a few guys like that, but not necessarily to that level or enough guys. But
It's bad to have too much of anything. If you had too many guys, you got too many small-skilled young kids, you need less of that. It'd be bad if they had too many Alex Tucks. You just can't have a team full of the same thing.
And I think that's what the number 9 pick represents to me as we go forward. All right, that is Owen Parker, like I said. Bulldogs joining me at 11. Jonathan Acosta, WGRZ-TV Channel 2, going to join me here in a little while. Will the NBA Finals, will the title be won? Is that game, is that tonight? It's tomorrow night, isn't it? It's not tonight, is it?
That's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. Okay, I wanted to make sure on that. That is tomorrow night, and I believe Tyrese Haliburton is going to play in the game from what is being said, but that is 3-2 Oak City right now, and they are a 6.5-point favorite in that game at Indiana. Indiana trying to come back to force a game 7, just like the Oilers tried last night. It didn't happen. The Oilers now, they go 2 straight Stanley Cup Finals, lose them both, both to the Florida Panthers. And yes, a lot of the Connor McDavid conversation has begun already, especially because of what Steve Levy said yesterday on the Jim Rome show. And you heard that, right, Steve Levy, what he said on Jim Rome show? Oh, you didn't? Oh. I want you to find it in the break, okay? And we'll do that. I'm going to send it to you. I can send you the clip. I'll do that. I want you to hear what Steve Levy said about Connor McDavid.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
it and just go, ooh, it might perk your eyes or ears up a little bit. Jonathan Acosta, Channel 2, joining me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
The window is sort of closing. This is an odd one. It's closing not because of his age, but because of his contract status. There's an awful lot of talk within the sport that if they don't win this year, McDavid might look elsewhere. He still has a year left on his contract after this season. But if you're the Oilers and you know you can't re-sign him, you can't let him go to free agency and not get anything for the greatest player in the game.
Very interesting from Steve Levy, of all people. That was on the Jim Rome Show, and Steve Levy, of course, ESPN, NHL. By the way, Steve, I think he is, but I know for sure like his son is a Bills fan. So I saw them down on the sidelines before the Bills 49ers Sunday night game in the snow. Said hi to him. We've seen each other over the years and met, but I know his son was decked out in Bills gear, so that was cool. But Steve Levy on Connor McDavid. McDavid has 1 year left on his deal. They can renegotiate starting July 1. I mean, we've seen some pretty blockbuster trades, including from that organization with a player who was considered the best in the world back in his prime, Wayne Gretzky. Hey, I'm just saying, it could happen.
By the way, Steve Levy, SUNY Oswego grad.
Yes, Oswego, yep.
That might be maybe the connection to the Bills.
100%. And I think probably grew up maybe in New York State, but I don't know. You have to look that up exactly where, but would have to find out. Anyway, let's get out to the Wester hotline right now because Jonathan Acosta is standing by. He is on WGRZ TV, Channel 2. Our buddy John Scott, the sports director over there, and Jonathan Acosta works alongside him and many other talented people, and he joins me right now. Good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sal. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm good. You spent time in Florida. You went to the University of Florida. You're a Gator. What was hockey like for you down there, your experience in Florida with hockey?
So it's funny because I was born first in Rhode Island and obviously in the Northeast, like hockey is big, but I actually never went to a hockey game until I was down in Tampa, went to my first hockey game over at Amalie Arena. And it was cool just going out there to the arena, and it's out by the water. It's like a very nice setting. And this was, I'd say, when the Lightning were still building towards that Stanley Cup run. So Steven Stamkos was really in his heyday and stuff with the Lightning. And it was like a very enjoyable experience, again, because of the players they had with Stamkos and Ben Bishop and Kucherov. And then after that, I'd always sort of liked hockey from afar, but being able to really take in the sport for the first time sort of made me a bigger fan after that. So it was cool to kind of follow that run because then I think they went to that first Stanley Cup when they lost to the Blackhawks. It was either my senior year of high school or first year of college, and then just sort of following their journey and their progression to ultimately winning those Stanley Cups once I went away from Florida was pretty cool.
You know, I'll be honest, for me, I lived in Florida for 16 years. It was terrible for me. I hated watching a Florida team win the cup. Growing up in Buffalo, knowing the Sabres had never won a Stanley Cup. Hey, hockey's our thing, right up here, Northeast.
Exactly.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Like, you get hockey down there, what are you doing? You don't even, I am not kidding you when I say this, John. Like, when I went to a couple of Lightning games early on when they, like, were kind of in their infancy, they were literally having pamphlets handed out about what icing was. Like, and I'm like, how do these people deserve a cup? It was unbelievable.
It's interesting because you have sort of, it's like two segments of the population. You have the people that from like, a lot of them even transplants that like know nothing about hockey, don't care about hockey. They care about their teams from back home. Maybe they're like a basketball or a baseball fan. But you do have like this nest of people who are really into hockey. Maybe it was something where one of my best friends from high school, his family was from Minnesota. And so he was actually a big hockey fan and a big Lightning fan. And so I actually went with him to the Lightning games and we would watch the games together. I had a teacher who was like a big Lightning fan. So you had like these sort of pockets where every once in a while you would find someone who was like a diehard fan, invested fan. And I think actually specifically in Tampa, the Lightning do a lot better than you would think for a Sun Belt team. I mean, especially during this successful run that they've had. I mean, they sell out pretty consistently.
And by the way, it's a great game experience. It's a great game experience. I've been to a game each this year and 2 years ago went down there, and they do a great job outside the arena. It's a really good fan experience when you go to a Tampa Bay Lightning game. Did you grow up a Bruins fan?
So
it's okay to say it here on WGR. It's okay. We'll allow it. We know people come from somewhere else sometimes.
So kind of, but honestly, growing up, like, I was a lot more into football, baseball, basketball. I'd say football and baseball were my two favorite sports. So I, like, for example, I grew up a huge Red Sox fan. Like, I was born in Pawtucket, so we had the Triple A team for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, literally around the block from my house. So I remember, like, I'm pretty sure, like, when I was young, like, Kevin Youkilis and Bronson Arroyo came through the Paw Sox. So, like, that was, like, my big team, the Red Sox. Obviously, 04 happened against the Yankees, and then just the players on that team, Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, Pedro Martinez. Like, it's hard to not sort of fall in love with it, with a team like that.
No doubt. So one of the reasons I reached out to you, and I said, you know what, I haven't talked to John on the radio in a while, and I know you've been covering Bill's minicamp and OTAs with John Scott, and I'll get to that, but I saw you were tweeting about the Rafael Devers trade, and I know that you were, or I should say, are a Red Sox fan and used to live up there. So I want to get your thoughts on that. Last night, he has two hits right away for the San Francisco Giants. I mean, how does that hit you as a Red Sox fan, especially with a team that has just swept the Yankees? They seem like they're finally on the trajectory they should, and then, bam, they get rid of their superstar hitter.
Well, it was sort of a gut punch, and it came out of nowhere. And unfortunately for the Red Sox, post-2018 World Series, in my opinion, they're one of the faces of MLB, right? You think of the biggest franchises in baseball. You think of the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Cardinals, and I think the Red Sox are clear in that conversation also. But since that last title in 2018, it doesn't seem like they've sort of conducted themselves in that manner. Obviously, it starts with the Mookie Betts trade, where here you have one of the best players in baseball. You're the Red Sox. You should be able to keep a guy like that long-term in Boston. But instead, they ship him out to L.A. He ends up winning the World Series with the Dodgers. And you get sort of the kind of feeling that this could lead to a similar thing. Here's Rafael Devers, this incredibly talented young hitter who was part of that 2018 World Series team. And it seems like the Red Sox, here they are, shipping them out to another team out west who's serious about fighting for a championship, where they're here. I don't know if they're trying to not play money ball, because they went out and made some serious additions in the offseason in Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman. But it's the prioritizing of stars like Mookie Betts and Rafael Devers that I feel like the Red Sox haven't been doing. And there's an interesting dynamic to it with Fenway Sports Group, where I don't know if it's because they don't just have the Red Sox anymore. They have Liverpool. And it's frustrating to see this happen with the Red Sox team, while in the same summer, Liverpool is going out and adding a huge German star in Florian Wirtz for over 100 million euros. So it's sort of that sort of dynamic where you really just wish the Red Sox would conduct themselves like the big team that they are.
Do you think that they can still contend in the AL East after this move?
It's one of those things where I think they can. Do I think they will? I just don't know. I mean, they've been getting really good pitching lately. So it's one of those things where good pitching sort of covers a lot of things. So if they get good pitching, I think they can go pretty far. We saw, I think, Brian Bayo went like 7 innings in that outing against the Yankees. Garrett Crochet has been really good. Lucas Giolito just had a good start out west. So if they get that, they can contend. I just don't think overall as a team they're as good as the Yankees. And obviously Rafael Devers, specifically against the Yankees, always seemed to play very well. So yeah, you lose a guy who used to help you in that department. So they have the young prospects that they've called up, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer. So I think it's one of those things where just be in the hunt maybe in September, and then maybe you let these young guys develop and you're in a better position to contend for a playoff spot maybe next year.
Yeah, believe me, I will tell you, I mean, I'm a big Yankee fan, as you know, and not having Devers, oh yeah. I mean, Garrett Cole,
I'm sure you're
Devers crushes Garrett Cole, and I know Cole's out for the year, but man, he is a Yankee killer. And I actually like Rafael Devers. I like Mookie Betts too. I mean, there's this romanticism and charm about some of your rivals. You know, I'm sure for you growing up, maybe, I know you're a little younger, but Jeter, right? People are like, oh, I really respect Jeter. You know, for me, like watching Big Poppy and from afar, those rivalries, they matter. Did it hurt you more for Betts or for Devers?
For Mookie Betts, because I think Devers is good, but like Mookie Betts is like in that upper echelon of players. And it was like shortly after that World Series title. So I think that one certainly hurt a lot. But when you say that you enjoy seeing Devers leave the Red Sox, I think that's a good gauge of of how good a trade is how do your rivals feel about this trade? And if your rivals are celebrating a move like this, I think it says a lot about the caliber of move that your team made.
Jonathan Costa, Channel 2, on the Wester Hotline with us. All right, you covered some of Bill's OTAs and minicamp. I'll ask you a question like this. Give me one player on offense and one player on defense that you kind of like took note of, I guess, for whatever reason that might be in your own way, other than Josh Allen, one player on offense and one player on defense.
One player on offense, and I say this because literally I saw him and I noticed the physical difference was Keon Coleman. Like, he physically looked bigger, like more so to any extent than any other player on the offense. And sort of his introspectiveness when he talked to us during the offseason sort of showed a lot of maturity, I think, especially out of a guy who's still incredibly young, only going into his second year. And I think at certain points, you know, the Bills have made some additions at wide receiver. They go out and sign Josh Palmer. They bring in Elijah Moore. So there's all that excitement about those guys. But I really do think Keon Coleman is sort of positioned to sort of be that number two guy in terms of targets after Khalil Shakir. We've seen what Khalil Shakir can do. We know the role he has on that offense. But I think with the improvements to his body, and I think just the comfort level in year two with the team and everything, I really do think Keon Coleman is primed for a maybe second year breakout. But the thing is, he was playing very well his first year, leading to that injury. So is it something where does a year two breakout just consist of him putting a full year together the way he was doing his rookie year leading up to that injury? I think that's certainly possible, and I think that would be a welcome development for the team. On defense, I'm not going to say one player. I'm going to say just overall the rookie D linemen, they also stand out in terms of just sheer size, which is clearly something that the team was going for. And I think Landon Jackson has a potential to really be someone who contributes as a rookie this season. You look at the state of the pass rushers and, you know, Joey Bosa missing time in the offseason through injury. How ready is he going to be in training camp? You obviously have the situation with Michael Hoyt where he's going to be missing the first six games through suspension. So you know you have your vets in Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epenesa. Who's really going to step up and contribute behind them? Is Javon Solomon going to step up in his second year? I think the traits that Landon Jackson has, and they talked about his maturity and his knowledge. He was a productive pass rusher his last 2 years at Arkansas. I think he's in a really good spot to potentially be a guy who significantly contributes as a rookie this season.
Jonathan Acosta, Channel 2, here on the Wester Hotline. Bills wrapping up minicamp, OTAs, Josh Allen, of course, coming off the MVP performance. When people ask you about the Bills and kind of where their window is right now, do you get the same answer I do, which is, hey, as long as you have 17, the window's there? Or do you look at them in a little bit different light because they have now had some changeover, some guys that have kind of left the building and things that they've had to do on the roster?
Well, I think those guys leaving the building and the Bills still being in contention actually speaks to the fact of, hey, as long as they have Josh Allen playing at a Josh Allen level of play, their window is open. I think that's true for any team in the NFL that has one of these quarterbacks in the upper tier, whether you're the Bengals with Joe Burrow, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, obviously the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. When you have that sort of level of quarterback, you're always going to be in contention. And I think it holds true even to we look at the previous era of stars when the Saints had Drew Brees and the Broncos and Colts had Peyton Manning and the Patriots had Tom Brady and the Bucks had Tom Brady. Those teams were always in contention as long as they had that quarterback and that quarterback was healthy. And I think Josh Allen, especially coming off this MVP season, is fully in terms of being in that tier. So, yes, there can be a changeover on the defense. You can have different coordinators. You can bring in different offensive weapons. But the quarterback has such an outsized impact in football that if you have that guy, you can move the pieces around it and still be in contention.
I like when I have people like you on because you follow a sport that I'm not super into, but I love the pageantry, and that's soccer. I know you're a big soccer fan. I enjoy the World Cup. I enjoy the Olympics. I couldn't tell you a lot of differences between a lot of the teams. It's not a sport I follow a lot. But when the United States is playing, I kind of pay attention because it's the United States, and it's cool, and we're in the World Cup, and you know Italy's in there, and it's really good stuff. So I'll ask you this way. Give me on a basic level. Should I be very worried about where the U.S. men's soccer team program currently still is, or is there hope?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think there is cause for concern, unfortunately. Like, if you were to ask me to predict right now, how is the U.S. men's national team going to do the 2026 World Cup? I would say maybe they get out of the group stage and probably lose the first knockout stage game if they even get out of the group stage. There's just the run of form they've been in recently hasn't been good. And I was excited when they hired this manager, Mauricio Pochettino. He's someone I always like him when they hire international managers. I think they bring a different perspective. He's someone who had success at Tottenham, a club that until this season had never really experienced the sort of success that he had brought them, at least in several decades. But it just seems the team, for whatever reason, hasn't played very cohesively in the games that they have had the A team. And you have sort of a weird dynamic right now where the best player on the team, Christian Pulisic, is sort of publicly fighting with the manager over – there was a situation where like he didn't want to play, he would play the friendlies, but didn't want to play the Gold Cup because he wants to rest. But here you have the stars for every other country coming to play for their national team over the summer and it not being as much of a concern. And for the U.S., this summer is incredibly important because the U.S. doesn't have to do World Cup qualifying because as a World Cup host, they're already automatically in the World Cup. So you have even fewer important games that matter compared to other countries that do have to go through World Cup qualifying. So every moment that you do get a chance to have all of your stars together and compete is incredibly important. And that's not something that's happening, for example, this summer because Pulisic is not playing with the U.S. men's national team. So I know they went out and won their first game at the Gold Cup. That's fine. That's not necessarily the caliber of teams that they're going to be playing in a World Cup setting, though. And like I said, their last friendly leading up to the Gold Cup, they played Turkey and it was an abysmal performance. I want to say it was something like 4-0. And the U.S. really should not be in a position where they're losing to a team like Turkey 4-0. You know, if they want to draw 2-2, that's fine. But really, in terms of the buildup to the World Cup 1 year out, that should be the sort of team that the U.S. picks up a win against here at home in the United States and is really building momentum towards 2026. And that's just not something that's happening right now.
Good stuff, buddy. Thanks a lot for joining me today. Tell everybody what you got going on over at Channel 2 and NBC here as we get past the Bills mini camp portion and into training camp.
Yeah, so we'll have some more stories from the Bills. We did a bunch of sit downs over the off season to kind of help bridge this gap between now and training camp. Definitely be on the lookout for, I did this cool story with Reed Ferguson. He's one of the investors in the Buffalo Pro Soccer team, actually. So I sat down and talked with him about what led him to joining this ownership group, what it's like being a professional athlete in Buffalo and now sort of being on the other side of this as a part owner, and just sort of his journey through soccer to lead to this point, because he's also an investor in Swansea City out in the United Kingdom and is a big time soccer fan as of maybe like 10 years ago, and sort of how he got into the sport and what led him to this point of being an investor in the Buffalo Pro Soccer team.
Awesome stuff, man. Thank you so much. And tell everybody where they can follow you and all your work.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter @_JayAcosta. And then on Channel 2, if you tune in, you can find John Scott and myself every day.
Love it. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. I'm sure we'll see each other in the Bills media room at some point soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Sal. Have a good one.
All right, you got it. Jonathan Acosta. Real good stuff there. I love it. Soccer. I like that. I don't pay too much attention to it other than when like the big matches are on. I know some of the names, but a lot of you are way more into it than me. Just not a sport that's ever I've really gravitated to, but I love the pageantry, so not downing it whatsoever. And I'm always interested in like where U.S. soccer is. So got to get Nick Mendola on soon to talk about that a little bit more. Good stuff from John on the Bills and, of course, hockey down in Florida where he went to the University of Florida. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll have a quick segment, and then it's Bulldog. Chris Bulldog Parker joins me at 11 a.m. at the top of the hour on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.